This is Nightline, your open door to people and places, and this is Walter O'Keefe. Nightline invites you to listen in on NBC's award-winning science fiction series, X-1. Now escape to a world of the future.
Countdown for blast-off. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, Saucer of Loneliness by Theodore Sturgeon. But first, hear this.
Hello, I'm Dorothy Olson, singing schoolteacher on NBC's big weekday musical show, Bandstand. But right now, I'd like to talk to you parents. I'd like to ask you a few questions as you're getting ready to send your youngsters back to school. Are you helping your child get the most out of his school? Do you make his home conditions favorable enough for him to do his homework? Do you show an interest in his schoolwork? Remember, your child's success in school and later on in life depends to a large degree on your attitude towards his schooling today. And there's another important thing. Everyone needs a good send-off in the morning, and that goes for children, too. Be sure your children have a substantial breakfast and a cheery goodbye before they head for school each day. Remember, you can't expect your child to do it all himself. Encourage him in his schooling, both in your attitude and in your actions as he goes back to school this fall.
Now, X-1. The story, Saucer of Loneliness, by Theodore Sturgeon.
My name is Jason Benaiades. I'm a newspaper reporter, 31 years old. I write poetry, but I don't show it to anybody because they might laugh. And the things I write about are very important to me. I was an only child and never went much with girls because I'm too ugly and too sensitive and they used to hurt me. I live alone. It isn't much fun. I'm not painting this picture of myself to get sympathy. I don't need it. But it's important you should know the kind of person I am. Otherwise, you won't understand what I'm going to tell you about. Tonight, the 25th of June, 1962. I was down on the beach. There was a girl out there in the surf alone, struggling. I plunged in after her, got her, brought her ashore, and carried her where a dune was between us and the water. Then I rubbed her wrists. She had a pale, beautiful face with ancient, bottomless blue eyes. She opened them and looked at me after a moment.
Oh, it's all right now. Here, put my coat over.
Why couldn't you leave me alone?
I couldn't.
Why?
Because it's important to me.
I suppose you want to know why I did it.
No, I know.
Oh, how could you know?
Maybe I know what it means to be lonely.
Oh, that.
That's it, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Don't be afraid.
I've been looking for you for a long time.
Looking for me?
All my life.
How did you know? I don't believe you.
It's true. I found your message.
You found my message?
Yes.
Oh.
You see, there's nothing to be afraid of, not anymore. Just rest.
Yes. I'd like to rest for a while.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't remember it, of course, but I was one of the reporters who had covered the story when it first happened, 5 years ago. I'll never forget that day. I was working the police blotter. It was a quiet summer afternoon when they brought her in. Two big cops in blue uniform.
All right. Come on now, girlie. Come on. All right. We understand. Take it easy now.
No, please. All right. Trouble, Connor.
Disturbing the peace.
This that Central Park call?
Yeah, this is it.
I thought you radioed there was a near riot up there.
Well, you should have seen the place.
All right. Give me the report.
Well, me and Bennett got up there. There was a mob of people all surrounding this girl, see? So we bust through, and there, in the middle of maybe 600 people, she's lying there, sort of in a faint.
Mm-hmm.
I asked a couple of people what the difficulty was. They tell me it's a flying saucer, you see? So I tell...
A what?
The flying saucer.
What is it, Miss Sagag?
It happened.
It did, eh? Suppose you tell me your version.
But I was standing in the park, and I looked up, and there it was.
Describe it.
Well, it was beautiful, but... It was golden with a dusty finish like an unripe Concord grape. And it made a faint sound, a chord of two tones, and it circled over my head like some great round hummingbird.
Go on.
Well, other people must have seen it because they were all looking at me and pointing. And I saw one man cross himself. And then it came down and touched me and spoke to me.
This flying saucer spoke to you?
Yes.
Just what did it say to you? I said, what did it say?
I can't tell you.
A secret, huh?
Yes.
I see. Connolly, this girl's for Bellevue.
Well, Sergeant, the plain fact is that it happened just like that. 10 witnesses all agree at it.
Are you trying to tell me there was such a thing as this whirring hummingbird of a saucer?
Oh, there was that, Sergeant.
And just how do you know, Connolly?
We got the thing out in a squad car. Bennett is bringing it in right now, see? About 36 inches across it is and covered with strange markings.
Holy mackerel, did you call the bomb squad?
I didn't think of it.
Well, think of it, man. This may be some kind of atomic weapon the Reds are sending over.
I'll turn it over to ballistics.
Never mind about ballistics. Call the FBI. Tell them what we got.
Back to X-1 and Saucer of Loneliness.
Now, miss, let me be very frank. I'm not a policeman. I'm a security agent. That means I deal with problems that affect the security of our country. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, we've examined this flying saucer enough to know it is not of American manufacture. It also possesses an extremely high radioactive count. That means it was in an area where radioactive materials are in great abundance, such as an area where atom bombs are made. That's why we want to know the message you received from the saucer.
There was no message.
You just made it up?
Yes.
I'm afraid you're lying. There is a communications device on the saucer, and many people heard it make some sound as it touched you.
Please, just leave me alone.
All you have to do is tell us what the saucer said, and you can go home and we won't ever bother you again.
No.
Well, gentlemen, we'll get nothing out of her. I don't believe she really knows what that humming noise was. You better have a psychiatrist examine her.
They took her to the city hospital and placed her in a guarded room. Whenever the door opened, she could see the policemen outside. The door opened quite often. There were a lot of important people, some in army uniforms who came up from Washington just to see her and talk to her. A few days later, she was released from the hospital and returned to court to be tried on the disorderly conduct charge. They found her guilty and fined her $15 and turned her loose. When she walked out of the courtroom, she was handed a subpoena to appear before a congressional committee in a private session. She answered all the questions except one. My newspaper sent me to cover the hearing.
Now, young lady, I want to remind you that I am a senator of the United States and empowered by the people of this country to ask questions relating to matters of security. Do you understand?
Yes.
Your name is Janet Boyce, is it not?
I told you that.
Now, this flying saucer, you said it talked to you. You did say that, didn't you?
Yes.
And then you denied it?
Yes.
Why?
Because I was tired of answering questions.
Young woman, let me put something to you squarely. By the way, I think if there are members of the press here, I can divulge a rather spectacular piece of information to you. This flying saucer has been thoroughly examined and analyzed. And I wish to inform the people of this great nation that it definitely, I repeat, it definitely did not originate on this planet.
The furor was fantastic, and the contempt trial that followed was spectacular. She was convicted and sentenced to 5 years in prison. 6 months ago, she was released. I found out she'd gotten a job cleaning at night in offices and stores down near the beachfront. There weren't many to clean, but that meant there weren't many people to remember her face from the newspapers. I tracked her down and caught up with her in a one-arm coffee joint about 4 in the morning. Excuse me, miss. Mind if I sit here?
No. Which are you? Security, newspapers, or just somebody out for a good time?
You're pretty bitter, aren't you?
Shouldn't I be?
I guess you should. Well, my name's Jason Benaides. I'm with a newspaper.
Well, it's been nice meeting you. I have to go now.
Just a minute.
No, please.
Look. I can't blame you. Please tell me how it's been.
So you can write about it?
I promise you I won't write anything you don't want me to write.
Okay. You want to know how it's been? I'll tell you. Right after I got out of jail, I met a man at a restaurant. A nice man. He asked me for a date. I spent every cent I had on a red handbag to go with my red shoes. And I was very excited about the date. We went to a movie. Afterward, he didn't even try to kiss me or anything. He just wanted to know what the flying saucer had told me. Oh, I didn't say anything. I just went home and cried all night.
That was it?
Oh, no. I had another date. I get pretty lonely. This time they arrested the man I was with. He was a Russian agent.
I'm sorry.
Now you go away and leave me alone.
Yes.
Aren't you going to ask me the big question?
No.
Everybody does.
Not me.
Oh, you will sooner or later.
Maybe. Look, can I take you home?
No.
Can I see you again?
Look,
please.
Oh, I don't know. I'm afraid to let myself like anyone.
Try me. Make it your last chance. Trust me. Will you?
I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'll wait here for you tomorrow night.
All right.
The next night, I went back to the coffee joint to wait for her. I knew she got through about 4 in the morning, and I got there about 15 minutes early.
Mr. Benaides?
Yeah. Say, you're the chief of security section, aren't you?
You have a good memory. You mind if I sit down?
Well, I'm expecting somebody.
Yes, I know.
Oh, I see.
I'd like to talk to you.
All right. Go ahead.
You probably know that we've been trying to gain the confidence of this girl for some years now.
Yes.
We have reason to believe that this girl is a courier for some alien power.
On what do you base that?
Well, there was the incident of the saucer, of course. We've definitely established that it came from some other planet. And recently, she's been throwing messages inside bottles into the ocean.
What sort of messages?
They're always the same. I have one right here. You're welcome to read it and see if it makes any sense. We've had every decoding expert in the service trying to break it, but we can't seem to find the key.
I see.
She's thrown literally hundreds of these messages and bottles into the sea. We've got many of them, but not all, naturally. What we're most interested in is locating the contact.
Naturally.
That's where you fit in. We'd like you to gain this girl's confidence even further. Try to find out just what these messages mean. And beyond that, what the saucer said to her. You'll be doing us a favor. And your country a great service.
You're certain this is some subversive activity on her part?
How else can you explain the fact that she won't tell us her secret?
Maybe because it's hers. Everybody has a right to have something of his own.
Are you trying to tell me that you won't cooperate?
I didn't say that.
I'd like to remind you, Mr. Benaiades, that you have a duty to us.
I know that. I also have a duty to myself and to God. Now, if you'll excuse me. I folded the bottle message and put it in my pocket and waited for her to show up. The minutes went by and the hours, and I knew she wasn't coming. Or she had come and seen me with the chief and changed her mind. That's when I left the cafe and walked down to the beach. That's when I had dragged her out of the surf before she could follow one of her bottles into the water. How do you feel now? You cold?
Why should you care?
Well, I do.
Is that why you were sitting with the security chief in the cafe?
Look, I didn't arrange that meeting. He asked me to spy on you.
I suppose he told you about the bottles.
Yes.
Oh, I wonder how much of the taxpayers' money they've spent gathering them up. What they wanted was a new weapon, you see. Some super scientific super science from some alien super race. Science, that's all they think of.
Well, it's pretty important.
Would it have ever occurred to them that this super race from another planet might have super feelings or super longings or super loneliness? Oh, no, all they think about is weapons. Well, isn't it time you asked me what the saucer said?
No.
Well, they all ask me.
I don't have to ask you. I know.
You know?
Yeah. And let me read it to you. There is in certain living souls a quality of loneliness unspeakable. So great it must be shared, as company is shared by lesser beings. Such a loneliness is mine. So know by this that in immensity there is one lonelier than you.
How did you know?
It's the message you put in the bottles. The same message that some lonely strange being in some other world put into a bottle. Only his bottle was a flying saucer and sent across space to you.
You knew?
I'm lonely too. Look at me. I've never had the love of a woman. They think I'm pretty ugly. I have beautiful thoughts in my head, but I write trash. I have this nose.
Oh, you're not ugly.
You know, I don't feel ugly right now.
Say it again. The message from the saucer.
Know by this, that in immensity, there is one lonelier than you.
I wonder if whoever first wrote it has found someone.
I think perhaps he has.
Fred Collins speaking, and I'll have another word for you about X minus one in a moment.
I like to look deep into the human heart with my camera. So speaks Margaret Burke White, one of the outstanding photographers of our time. Perhaps you remember one of her favorite pictures, the tremendously moving photograph of two South African gold miners sweltering in dank airlessness deep under Africa's green hills. We agree with Miss White that all the sorrow of mankind is in the miners' eyes. And what if those miners could speak? What is the story behind their sorrow? This is the objective of the program we call Life and the World, to add new dimensions in sound to the picture stories in each week's issue of Life magazine, to bring you the actual voices of the people most intimately associated with stories of human interest gathered from the four corners of the earth. This is Frank Blair inviting you to keep a rendezvous with Life and the World every weeknight over most of these NBC stations.
You have just heard X Minus One, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features the Gordon R. Dixon short story, Robots Are Nice. To Jim Harvey, at least, robots weren't the least bit nice. He had a feeling they had something up their sleeve valves, and in time he found out what it was. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, X-1 has brought you Saucer of Loneliness, a story written by Theodore Sturgeon and adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in our cast were Lynn Cook as Jason Benayades and Lydia Bruce as the girl. Others in our cast were Joseph Bell, Harvey Hayes, Ross Martin, and Roger DeCoven. This is Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by George Voutsas and is an NBC Radio Network production.
You'll be on the right line for exciting nighttime entertainment when you hear Nightline tonight over most of these NBC stations.